Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? In the Gospel of John, the book of John, John chapter 5, verses 39 through 47. Last time we were together, I think I jumped to chapter 6 a couple of times. You realized I was still in chapter 5, so please forgive me for that misunderstanding, but I was in chapter 5, John chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 39 through 47 today. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. It's always a joy to study the Word of God and to look into it. And as we enjoy it today, I ask that you will please look very carefully and study along with me today that you may know the Word of God, and especially this sweet part right here where it tells us to search the Scripture. So now if you're ready to study the Word of God and go into this verse of Scripture, please follow along with me. John chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 39. "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, I thank you that we have this sweet opportunity to come today and to look into your word. Please give us the strength that we need each and every day. It's a glorious day to serve you and to walk after you. Please give us the strength and the wisdom to do that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We were going through last time we were together. We went back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and I want to go back there just for a minute, just to remind you that that is the very first gospel presented in the Scripture. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and if you're thinking that, again, the gospel is something that's kept to the New Testament, and you hear people refer to the Roman road, if you're familiar about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, well, you would I think we would need to go to the book of Romans, or at least to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the book of Acts, in that area there someplace, instead of clear back here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. But it tells us what happens and what has taken place between the devil himself and the Lord Jesus. And we know, as we will read it here now, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, "I will put enmity," which is hatred, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Thy head, speaking of the destruction and the putting away of the devil, and the bruising, as we read last time we were together, concerning our sin. That's the bruising that Jesus had taken. Yes, he had to die on the cross, but death had no power over him. 3 days later, he came out of that grave alive, and he is alive today. But we need to realize that that is speaking of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection, and is placed there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And as we said last time, it's between the judgment that was placed upon the serpent, and then judgment was placed upon the woman, and then the man. The gospel of the Lord Jesus, the way out, was given. The plan to come to the Lord Jesus, the coming Messiah, was given. Everything was already in place. You see, it wasn't something that just happened. Jesus said to the Father, "You know, I think it must be about time that I go down and try to rescue these people." It was in the mind and in the heart of God before the foundation of the world. He knew he was going to send his Son, the Lord Jesus, down to redeem us. So even at the very beginning here, for him to place the first gospel is no great feat for God, because he knows what's going to take place. And it's as if it's already taken place concerning the bruising of the head of Satan. And you see, that's been some 6,000 years ago now that this was spoken. And it still has not been fulfilled, but it will be. 2,000 years ago, the heel of the Lord Jesus was bruised when he took on our load of sin. So you see, it's so exciting to watch the Word of God unfold. And I'm glad that you're here to join us to do that today. The first gospel, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now, I have some other verses of Scripture here. As I referred last time, said last time, that we have 44 verses of Scripture. And we're not going to read all of them, but I am going to turn from page to page and just read a few of these sweet verses of Scripture, because I want you to see what the Word of God, the Old Testament, has to say concerning the Lord Jesus, some very sweet words. Now, we're going to Psalms first. Now, we're going to jump all the way over Leviticus. And if we look at Exodus and Leviticus, Leviticus has such a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. And when we look at the Scripture verse here in John chapter 5, and we say, search the Scripture. And we look at that, and we say, now search the Scripture. We can look, you can search, you can memorize every verse of Scripture that's there. But until you recognize that the Scripture is speaking of, about, and actually is the words of the Lord Jesus, everything directs you to Jesus. And when you search the Scripture, and that's what we're talking about here and what the Lord Jesus himself is talking about, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The Word of God, the Scriptures, testify of the Lord Jesus. And when you search the Scripture, you should be searching for Jesus. You will be finding the Lord Jesus if you're looking for him. He is your Savior. Please come by faith and trust in him that you can accept that free gift, that gift of salvation, that you may live eternally with him. Please trust in Jesus today that your sins can be forgiven. You must face your sin. Search the Scriptures that will convict you, bring you unto the Lord Jesus, and you can be saved if you'll look unto the Word of God and realize you need to look for Jesus. Now, let me look to Psalms chapter 118 now. And again, Leviticus is one that the tabernacle, Exodus and Leviticus, the tabernacle is built, and all the feasts, all those things point exactly and directly to the Lord Jesus. If you can't see that, please write me a note that I can explain to you very clearly and very easily, and you'll see it too if you're looking for the Lord Jesus. If you're just reading it as a history book, you'll miss him, and you'll miss him through eternity, and you're going to find yourself in the lake of fire with the devil and his angels, and I don't want that at all. Let's look unto Psalms 118, as we look to Psalms 118. Hope you're looking up at the same time I am. Psalms 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. That's speaking of the Lord Jesus. I hope that you just probably take time. If you want to look them up right now, that's just great. But if you want to wait, write these verses of Scripture down so you can read above and beyond it, and read that verse of Scripture in context. But again, Psalms 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Let's look to Isaiah 7, 14. Isaiah has an awful lot to say concerning the Lord Jesus. Speaks of his birth and his death and his resurrection. please, as we look now to Psalms chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's in Isaiah. Look to chapter 9. Flip a page. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. That's what's going to happen when the Lord Jesus is going to come in to this life, this world, and that's what he did 2,000 years ago. He came from glory and walked right into this world. And when he did that, the light was shining. And that's what we're talking about and studying here in John. He is shining so brightly. He's giving the testimony, performing the miracles, all these things, as he come to show that he is God. And again, verse 2, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Now if you go to the 6th verse, and unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Speaking so clearly of the Lord Jesus. And now to verse 7. And the increase of his government and peace shall be no, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. What beautiful stories, beautiful statements we're hearing here concerning what's to take place in the coming of the Lord Jesus and how he's to come. Now, if we'll go to chapter 11, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. All speaking. This is what they had, the Jews at the time that the Lord Jesus was walking upon the earth. They had all these scriptures. These scriptures were stated and prophesied to them some 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. Let's go on to 25:8, Isaiah 25:8. As I said earlier, there's many, many of them. I had 44 of them listed here. These are some of the very sweet ones, very clear ones. Isaiah 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. All of it speaking not only as him coming of Savior, but also as he will come as judge, and he will come here and rule and reign 1,000 years during the millennium. It's great to study the Word of God and to know the Word of God. We have the New Testament, so we can come back and see so clearly what the Old Testament is speaking about. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Therefore thus saith the Lord, the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. Again, speaking clearly of the Lord Jesus. Right on to Isaiah 52. If you know your scripture at all, you've probably heard this one more so than maybe the others that I have read. Isaiah chapter 52, and we'll look at the 2nd verse. Isaiah 52, verse 14, Isaiah 52, 14, Isaiah 53, verse 2. We're going to look at Isaiah 52, verse 14, first of all. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man. and his form more than the sons of man. It speaks of the condition upon the crucifixion, during his crucifixion, when he died upon the cross for you and for me. It's important that we see what they had in the Old Testament. It's what we have, as well as the New Testament, for us to understand and see the coming of the Lord Jesus. The Word of God speaks so clearly about Jesus. Look here in chapter 53. I'm going to read the first verse and the first couple verses here. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquitted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from the prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. You know, as you look through all those verses of Scripture, you really don't know where to quit and where to end. As we begin there in the first verse of chapter 53, and I've read all the way down through the eighth verse, as we look through those verses of Scripture, we're speaking so clearly the birth of the Lord Jesus, what Jesus looked like, and that's the only picture we have. We do not have, as people have pictures in their homes of the Lord Jesus, it is not him. And we shouldn't have pictures in our house, because we have no idea. We shouldn't have a picture in the church of the Lord Jesus, because we have no idea what he looks like. The only description we have is right here. Second verse, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That doesn't mean that he was ugly. It does mean that he had no strong, very strong characteristics that people would follow him because he was so handsome, so strong. We're to come to the Lord Jesus because he died for us and took our sin away. Not because we're attracted to his looks and the way he was built and those things, not at all. And the Scripture tells us that he was a very common man. And again, to be a common man is nothing wrong with that at all. No form nor comeliness. And it continues there, as we've already read, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. You read down through there, it talks about his life, his birth, his life, his death, the crucifixion, the condition that we were in then after that. In the end of verse 5, his stripes we are healed. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. All the sins of all the world was laid upon the Lord Jesus. And we've confirmed that back here in Isaiah as we're reading these verses of Scripture, and also the condition we're in. We just went everywhere. We're paying no attention to it at all. Everybody's going his own way. And boy, isn't that a saying for today. Everybody's going their own way in their own direction. Read Isaiah 53. You get a chance, because you'll enjoy that. And it speaks so clearly of his life. And that's the only description we have of what Jesus looks like. Whoever came up with the picture we have, I agree with the man that years ago said that, you know, that probably looks like the Antichrist. How would you like to have the Antichrist nailed to your wall and look to it? And you say, well, I don't worship it. You shouldn't even have it. He tells us we aren't to have anything like that to worship concerning the gods that we have, statues and pictures, things like that. It's not good, my friend. We need to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus, and we do that by doing that spiritually, by studying His living Word like we're doing right now, not by some picture or some statue or something that we might have. As we look now at Isaiah 61, just some verses of Scripture I wanted to share with you. Isaiah chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Now, if you'll notice the scripture verse here that was read, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," and the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, I would like to go there very quickly. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And let's see. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. But that's not the verse of Scripture that I'm looking for. That's concerning the Lord Jesus and His baptism. I must have written the Scripture verse down incorrectly, because I want the one where He sat there with the... Let me look for another verse of Scripture here very quickly, and if I don't see it quickly, why, we'll go on. It's always important. Nope, I've written down the Scripture. You know, as you read through the verse of Scripture, you find that this is the one in chapter 61, verse 1, that He is speaking to in the temple as He come to, in the synagogue, as He would come, they handed Him the book, He opened it, He read it, and He read to and through verse 2, just half of it, and He closed the book. And then He said, "That speaks of me." And see, that's what we have when the Lord Jesus, as we look back into the Old Testament, and Jesus Himself read these verses of Scripture, but again, He stopped short, because the day of vengeance of our God speaks of the judgment of the Lord Jesus, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, "This is it. I am here. That speaks of me." Made them mad, but He read that. And I'm sorry that I don't have that verse of Scripture here immediately for you, because as I try to look quickly, why, I miss those things, I guess, and I can't. Let's look to... Day of Destruction? No, I'll have to look that up and get that back to you next time we come together. And I apologize for not having that correctly and before you as I wanted it to. Sometimes we look at verses of Scripture and we just don't see them in the same time that we think we should. I keep thinking I'm going to see it quickly and I don't. I'll look that up for you and get that back to you the next time we're together. Let's look at Isaiah 62:11. Do you ever do that, Miss? Write something down? I do that. I turn numbers around and things like that. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11. "Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." Isn't it wonderful as we have all these verses of Scripture that we can look to and find? It's wonderful to study the Word of God. Let's look now to just one more, and it's at the end of the Old Testament. If you'll notice, these were all in the Old Testament, and that's into Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Now that's speaking of the John the Baptist. "And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messengers of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." What a beautiful promise of what was to come, and that's in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. As we look to the Word of God, I wanted to go through, again, I have 44 others that I have listed here, but these few that we went through in Psalms, Genesis 3:15, then Psalms 118:22, then we went to Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah chapter 9, the 2nd, 6th, and 7th verse, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, Isaiah 25:8, Isaiah 28:16, Isaiah 52:14, Isaiah 53:2, Isaiah 61:1, Isaiah 62:11, and Malachi 3:1. Those are the ones that we read. Those are the ones that we looked through. And it's wonderful, my friend, to look to the Word of God and to see these things and study and search them. And we'll go back now to John chapter 5, verse 39, search the Scripture. Who did we find as we looked through those verses of Scripture? We found Jesus. Have you found Jesus? That's the important question. Have you found Jesus? You know, we're commanded to search the Scriptures. We should read and study the Scriptures. But as we search the Scriptures, we should always be looking for the Lord Jesus. As we look at that verse one more time, search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. How do you have eternal life? You have eternal life because of Jesus, because He died on the cross of Calvary for you. And they are they which testify of Me. In other words, it's saying very clearly, eternal life comes through and only by the Lord Jesus, by no other way. Please do not be taken by any other direction. By faith in Jesus, and that alone saves you. So please, that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus today and trust in Him. If you would please look to another verse of Scripture, this time it's going to be in the New Testament, and we'll find it back in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read some verses of Scripture here. Scriptures here, verse 14. Through the end of the chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Listen, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. It explains very clearly, search the Scripture, search the Holy Scriptures. In them you will find eternal life, and you'll find eternal life when you find Jesus. Now, I hope that you found Jesus today. And if you question the Word of God, look to verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God. And the more we search the Word of God, the more we look unto the Lord Jesus, the more powerful we become, not of our own strength and our own way, but because of Jesus. Now, the Scripture tells us here, search the Scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. Will you please look at the Word of God now as a living book? Will you come to Jesus today? Will you look to Him and look to Him only for your salvation? Has today's study, as we look through these Old Testament Scriptures, convicted you of your sin? I hope it has. I hope the Holy Spirit has got a hold of you today, and you feel the convicting power and the convicting hand of God. Because as we look to the Lord Jesus, as we look to these verses of Scripture and see the Lord Jesus, there's only one question that needs to be asked. What are you going to do about Jesus?